This is Sequitur, an exploration of the natural consequences of our actions at the individual, community, cultural, and species levels. Sequitur is brought to you by Expressions of Peace, personal, powerful, and heart-to-heart. I'm Susan Livingston, your host and producer. Sequitur is archived under the Expressions of Peace tab at panina.org. That's P-A-N-I-N-A, as in peace and nonviolence in action. Sequitur, the theme song, is by Zymph. That's Z-Y-M-P-H-T. You can find more of his music on SoundCloud. Sequitur, it follows. Sequitur began production in April 2016 to provide extreme weather coverage and climate disruption updates while Extinction Radio was on hiatus. Inspired by Guy McPherson's Nature Bats Last, the focus of Sequitur expanded to consider the overarching issue of habitat loss. Sequitur's content further expanded under the influence of Derek Jensen's book, The Myth of Human Supremacy, to cover extinction events and their drivers for the whole web of life rather than only property destruction and loss of human life or monetized livelihood. The Sixth Extinction, An Unnatural History by Elizabeth Colbert, and Columbus and Other Cannibals by Indigenous historian Jack D. Forbes have provided additional conceptual underpinnings. Aho, Metakwe Owasan, we are all related. Speaking of hiatus, perhaps my faithful listeners are wondering why it's been almost 6 months since you've heard from Sequitur. In a nutshell, it's because your host and producer has been through a relocation that's been not only geographic, but also personally, culturally, and financially disruptive. The relocation also entailed an eventual severe downgrade in access to the internet, which compromises my capacity to host interesting guests or even collaborate with Benjamin the Donkey. As I assemble the audio for this show, I have no idea how I'm going to manage to build a web page at Panina in which to embed it. You would be correct if you guessed that I am not expecting to resume regular production. However, two things conspired to bring you today's show: protection, against all odds and in spite of the challenges. One is that my shamanic training was called forth by my new community to enlist protection from the spirit world for our beleaguered Morgantown Unity Manor, a.k.a. MUM, a high-density, low-income housing project for the elderly and disabled here in Morgantown, West Virginia, located about 400 miles north along the Appalachian Ridge from Asheville, North Carolina, and about 50 miles south of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So the featured segment is the resulting protection ceremony. And the other prompt for the show was that the eighth and final sunset windows practice by Elizabeth West was lacking a home. So you'll be hearing from Elizabeth later in the show as we wrap up that series. Recording conditions were less than optimal for the protection ceremony, with three participants sharing a single tabletop microphone. In the interest of getting the show released before the end of the month, I confined my post-production editing to eliminating too long pauses and the distracting noise of too much movement. So bear with me as we listen together to the protection ceremony.
And today is summer solstice.
It is indeed.
2018. We're going to start by preparing sacred space. Traditionally, cornmeal and tobacco are used to prepare the ground. I'm using locally milled corn flour from my bread making, moringa, an Earth Day gift from Solomon Amuzu, founder of Call to Nature Permaculture, and mugwort from Berkeley, California, provided by Master Gardener and my former compost host, Bonnie Baruki. I'll draw a circle on the floor from the Pachacuti Mesa around behind our chairs, first with the cornflower, staff of life, then with the moringa, powerful medicine for the body, then with the mugwort, powerful medicine for the spirit, and finally hydrate the whole thing with a few drops of Florida water.
When we would do a sacred circle, I would use cornmeal.
This is actually finer milled than the meal, it's the flour.
Mm-hmm. So I'll start from the mesa here.
And just sprinkle some of this on the floor. All the way around. Mm-hmm. Thank you for managing the cord, Larry. Just a little bit. A little bit goes a long way when it comes to consecrating sacred space. Get my moringa. Do you like to smell that? See what it is? It's kind of a bitter herb.
Yeah, it is a little bitter.
Yeah, it's a perennial shrub.
Smells good.
The leaf is used for all kinds of medicinal purposes. I use a teaspoon every morning in my smoothie. It's basically a calcium supplement. Pachacuti Mesa tradition was founded by Don Oscar Mira Quesada. Pachacuti Mesa basically means earth transformation table. Your mesa is your altar. A mesa in geography is a flat tabletop. It's the same word. Okay, here's the mugwort. Bonnie used mugwort to make dream pillows. So she would put these in fabric. It's kind of like...
Can I smell that?
Sure.
Because I've never heard of this.
Well, it probably doesn't have much smell left because it's years old. But you put it in a pillow and you put it underneath your sleeping pillow. And it's supposed to influence your dreams. It's supposed to stimulate lucid dreaming. So it's a very sacred herb. And Don Oscar has assured us that if you don't want to use tobacco, you don't have to use tobacco. You use whatever herb is sacred to you. So
that makes good sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
So dream time is important. Okay, and then the Florida water. This is what Ponce de Leon was seeking when he came to the Florida Peninsula.
Too bad he didn't go home.
Quite magical stuff. And I guess he thought it came that way from the earth, but in reality, native peoples have been making Florida water. I don't know what they call it in the Quechua language, but
well, some history we called it the Fountain of Youth.
But Don Oscar calls it Florida water.
Yeah.
Of course, I keep it here in the west on my altar, because that's where the element water lives.
Oh, it smells good.
Yeah, it sure does. Between making bread and the saging and the Florida water.
This is cool, right?
Okay, next, I'm going to repeat the process on the small tabletop. Traditionally, and especially if we were outdoors, the cloth would extend somewhat beyond the perimeter of our circle. But I'm using this little table as an auxiliary mesa due to our limited space. It's going to be tricky because I don't want to bump the mic and make a big noise.
This is the earth.
And believe me, you can feel it come up through your feet.
Oh my goodness, I'm going to stay here all day. This is comfortable.
Okay, so there's the cornmeal.
Feel the earth underneath your feet.
And we'll get to that part. We're still preparing the ground. Okay, here we go with the moringa. And then the mugwort. Kind of lands in globs like rubbed sage wood. Strange texture stuff.
May I feel peace?
It's kind of fluffy and
it doesn't have much of a smell.
It's
like a cotton texture.
Yeah. No, you
not
can have
close.
It.
Oh, thank you.
Don't need it. I have plenty. I've been carrying this around for 5 years. Okay, and then we'll top it off with some Florida water because the earth wants to drink as well as eat. So we always add a libation. And Florida water is the sacred libation. If you don't have pure wild water that's never seen the inside of a pipe.
Okay, Florida water. I mean,
then Florida water is
not necessarily from Florida.
No, it's
where do you get it?
You can order it online, but this is handmade by me.
Okay,
it's like a year in the making. There's like 12 different ingredients, and the recipe is in my Facebook. If you call up my notes, it's called Florida water, and the whole process is
very complicated.
Explained, yeah, because it's tinctures. Tinctures are complicated. Okay, I'm just going to set this down for a minute so I can spread the cloth.
Oh, yeah.
And then we would make our circle if we were actually doing this outdoors, doing it authentically. But we're just sort of faking it here.
Okay.
So, finally, I'll arrange the artis, or artifacts, on this auxiliary mesa. The misarumi goes in the center. This is my misarumi. She will become very important to us a little bit later in the ceremony. So I'm going to put her in the center here, where we can all see her. And I'll shift the mini Misarumi. This is the mini Misarumi here, from her home position in the southeast of the Pachacuti Mesa to the center to hold the space for the Misarumi in her absence. And then place the Kintu.
What's Kintu?
Kintu represents the upper, middle, and lower realms, known as Kaipacha, celestial realms, Hanakpacha, commonplace consensus reality, and Ukupacha, the underworld, the shadow in Quechua.
That's from the Peruvian. Yes. He's a Peruvian song.
So this is the Kintu.
But what is this?
These are actually just bay leaves.
Okay.
They use coca leaves in Heart Island, but we don't have coca trees around here.
Yeah.
So
no,
we use, you know, mountain laurel would do just fine.
Right.
These are store-bought
bay leaves.
Bay leaves.
Okay.
So I'm placing those behind the Mesorumi. And I'll invite the crone from the ancestor altar to serve as our Martha avatar. Sandy, would you assist in her migration,
you know
please?
Where that is.
She does.
There's Martha.
She can go wherever you'd like to position her. Okay. And the microphone can stand here, too, where it will hopefully yield enough of a recording to edit into a new Sequitur podcast after a six-month hiatus. It will be called Protection. So now that we've prepared our sacred space, we're ready to call in the directions. I'm going to call in the five directions in Quechua, as I was taught by Don Oscar Miro Quesada, my Peruvian mentor and featured guest on Sequitur's Sacred Reciprocity. I will tone each direction three times, and I invite you to join me in the second and third repetition. I'm going to start really low and deep, because the fifth direction goes up an octave. So we want to start low. And I'm going to stand for this because I can sustain my breath a lot better that way. We call in the spirit of the South, Pachamama, Mother Earth, the center of sensation, the spirit of our essential physical body as represented by serpent and all beings who crawl, who responds to the percussion instruments. Pachamama. Pachamama. One more time. Call in the spirit of the West, Mama Kia, Mother Moon, the center of feeling or emotion, the spirit of water, the primary element of all life, the essence of heart energy, habitat for dolphin and all beings who swim, who loves the stringed instruments. Mama Kia. Mama Kia. Mama Kia. We call in the spirit of the North, Wiracocha, the center of intuition, the spirit of creator creatrix or great mystery, the essence of air, habitat for condor and stork and all beings who fly, lover of wind instruments.
Wiracocha.
We call in the spirit of the East, Inti, Father Sun, the spirit of fire for cleansing and transformation, the essence of mind, beloved of Puma and all the four-leggeds, lover of bells.
Inti.
We call in the spirit of the center, Quichi, soul or quintessence, symbolized by llama or alpaca, lover of the singing voice, spirit of the rainbow hummingbird, whose origin is with lightning in the northwest or before, and whose destination is with thunder in the southeast.
Quichi.
Warmest welcome to the spirit guides. And now, the Sami brothers will offer their musical prayer to the seven directions, accompanied by Sandy on the drum. While I get this queued up, Sandy, would you like to introduce your medicine tradition or say a few words about your drum?
I was faith keeper to an intertribal tribe in West Virginia, and on that I learned to drum. I bought my drum and tried many out before I found the one that had the voice that sounded in me. I am still a medicine woman, still a faith keeper. I believe in the earth and all the things that grow upon it and fly upon it. All the insects, trees, rocks have spirit in them. We are of the earth, and great spirit, creator, watches over us.
Beauty above, may you inspire us. Oh, beauty below, may you sustain us. Oh, beauty behind, may you protect us. Oh, beauty before, may you guide.
To the right, may you strengthen us.
I was tickled to learn that Sandy and I both view what Don Oscar calls our stone relatives as the bones of Gaia Pachamama, and we both have some attachment to certain stones which turn out to be relevant to today's proceedings. So let us honor Pachamama's bones today, and then proceed to honor the other directions as well.
We always start in the south, and the stones are the bones of the mama.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it makes sense to start with the readings.
You do the stones first before.
And what we do in the Indians, we go in the east gate, which we set up.
Right, and with the rising sun.
We walk the circle. Right.
There's little
and
variance.
Everybody has to sit. I've had to teach people why they do that. In the west, they go in the west gate because they're facing the sun there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a minor difference, but it's a difference.
Yeah. Well, we honor the east for the rising sun, mm-hmm. and the west, the setting
the
sun,
south.
That's where the ancestors go. Yeah. So
starting in the south, Larry, please let Martha hold the brothers and tell us about their significance.
Tiger iron. The key words, strength, stamina, focused will, physical energy and strength, self-healing and grounding. Tiger iron is a stone of strength, stamina, and courage.
It combines three stones which are powerful all in their own right, amplifying and blending their effects. Tiger eye is a solar stone of vitality, practicality, and physical action, assisting one in taking effective actions in response to the needs and challenges of physical life, and in remaining grounded, calm, and centered. Tiger iron is the most energetically dynamic of all the grounding stones, firmly in alignment with the physical body, with no dulling of consciousness. It is very useful for self-healing, especially from chronic illnesses. It energizes and reinforces the patterns of health, personal power, focused will, mental clarity, and groundness. In affirmation, I am strong, I am energetic, I am grounded, I am healthy, but most importantly, I am whole.
Thank you, Larry. Martha, you can return the brothers to Larry. And now, Sandy, please let Martha hold the sisters and tell us about their significance.
Malachite. Lightens leadership, creativity, confidence, protection, and healed heart. Malachite emanates the healthiest energy pattern for the heart. It benefits both the emotional heart and the pump itself through the harmonization of the heart chakra. It assists one in maintaining emotional balance. There is an enhancement of willpower in the presence of malachite. It can help one find the resolve to overcome difficulty and the integrity to stay true to one's direction. Malachite reminds us that we are co-creators in this world, and the possibilities for our creations are endless. It stimulates one's higher passions for life and creating. It lends one the strength to consciously own one's responsibility. Malachite's beautiful, rich green color reveals its ability to heal on the physical and emotional levels. Malachite can assist in restoring strength and vitality after illness and in rebuilding and repairing tissue. It supports the formation of red blood cells and hemoglobin. In the affirmation, I align my personal will with my understanding of divine will, and I move forward with clarity and confidence.
Thank you, Sandy.
Pretty heavy. It was great.
Martha, you can return the sisters to Sandy. And moving to the west, we honor Mama Kia's sacred world oceans today, the foundation of life on our planet. I'm combining alcohol to represent water and Epsom salt to represent salt to create a cleansing and purifying brine. I am sprinkling this libation upon the Pachacuti Mesa, the Auxiliary Mesa, and around the outside of our circle.
The remainder will stand in the west on the Pachacuti Mesa until it evaporates. So here's my little chalice. And this is Everclear in a World Tree Shamanics bottle, which is Strobus Pine's proprietary label for plant healing. Might as well use it all, right? Not enough to save. That is Everclear. It's the strongest alcohol that's commercially available. Oh, it's used in making tinctures, which is why I had it, because I was making my own tinctures for a while. Okay, and this is just ordinary Epsom salts, like you soak sore muscles.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to ruin it for drinking purposes right now.
Oh, oh good. That cuts it down.
Not even tempting.
No.
I think maybe 2 pinches.
I can soak my finger in there, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Do you smell it?
Not yet.
Moving to the north, we honor Wiracocha today with another song. So let's listen together to Lisa Thiel singing
Litha, the Summer Solstice Song.
I am the fire that burns within your soul. I am the holy light that fills and makes you whole. I am the flame within that never dies. I am the sun that will ever arise. Sun, honor you this night, leap across the fire, keep all spirits bright, power of the sun, fire in the night, leap behind that which plants to restore our sight. Guides you to your soul. I am the flame of love for which you yearn. I am the sun that will always return. Power of the sun, I honor you this night. Leap across the fire. Keep our spirits bright, power of the sun, fire in the night, leave behind that which blinds to restore our sight.
Beautiful. Oh my goodness.
Nothing like singing together to raise the vibration, literally. Yeah.
And the notes just came.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
She's beautiful.
I've never
heard
that song before, but I love it.
Moving to the east, we honor Inti today with the lighting of candles. This little small candle was handmade of organic beeswax, it was about that long when it started, by a powerful South Pacific shaman in San Francisco. At a new moon ceremony, I consecrated this candle to support community. I light it again today to support the community that has gathered around Martha Sal. With our bees in such dire straits, it was impossible to find beeswax candles locally. So I got this ordinary 10-inch taper, hopefully unscented, which will also burn to give energy and light to the spirit of community in our lives. I smelled it, and it didn't smell like it was scented to me.
No, it's I don't think
no,
it's...
I'm
not.
Just concerned about getting it to stand up and drip in the right place.
Good luck.
Yeah.
I think that's going to work.
Well, I would move the feathers over.
So here's the beeswax candle.
Surely some of the beekeepers here in Bond County have some wax.
They do, but with bees endangered, they don't like to disturb the hives and take their product.
Okay.
That's what she told me at the co-op.
All right, I understand. They are so, I'm so concerned about them.
I know. Aren't we all?
Yeah.
About insects in general.
Yeah, bees in particular.
Trouble. Well, I know, and the Technofix folks have robotic bees now. Yeah. So, moving to the Misurumi in the center.
Thank you.
We honor Quichi today with a guided visualization provided by Elizabeth West of Richmond, California. Elizabeth is no stranger to the Sequitur podcast. She was my featured guest on two shows, Sequitur Earthbound and Sequitur Sunset Windows. And the Sunset Windows practices have provided spiritual embellishment for several subsequent shows. So we'll dive into the visualization after Elizabeth does our station break.
You are listening to Sequitur, a production of Expressions of Peace, personal, powerful, and heart-to-heart. Sequitur is archived at panina.org. That's P-A-N-I-N-A, as in peace and nonviolence in action.
I added a few instructions to the visualization to try to keep us in sync. So let us begin by contemplating the Misurumi as we breathe together. Start by placing your left hand on your heart and simply focus on your breath without trying to change it in any way. And then place your right hand on your abdomen so that your thumb is at your navel and your palm encloses your dantian, or energetic center. Now, let's deepen and slow our breath. Inhale to a count of 5, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then exhale fully to a count of 5, 2, 3, 4, 5. Good. Now increase the count to 6, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And exhale slowly and fully. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And now close your eyes and try for 7, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And exhale fully but very slowly. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Excellent. Now resume heart-focused breathing in a relaxed but alert posture as you listen to the visualization instructions. With your eyes still closed, visualize a thick cord or root of golden light emanating from the Misurumi and descending all the way to the center of the earth. See it penetrate with your mind's eye. It has to go all the way to the core. The surface is too tainted. I'll pause for 2 slow breaths so that the image can crystallize in your mind's eye. Now allow that cord of light that penetrates to the earth's core to expand, swell, grow, until it is the diameter of this circle. Then let the golden light expand still further until it fills this whole apartment. And then let it grow further until it is as big as the building and still goes all the way to the core of the earth. Focus your mind's eye on that huge cord of golden light and take 2 deep breaths with me as we crystallize this image. Inhale deeply and exhale fully. Great. Now, let the golden light expand 8 or 10 feet beyond the perimeter of the building on all sides, up and down and all around. From the rooftop to the core of the earth. And again, let's take 2 deep breaths together in silence. When you're holding the entire space and a margin that you want protected in a golden light, with your eyes still closed, surround it all with a layer of violet flame. Violet flame has the unique capacity to let things for the highest good penetrate through it and keep out all else. So nurture that violet flame that you've wrapped around the expanded column of warm golden light as we take 2 deep breaths together in silence.
Excellent.
And now with your eyes still closed, and with the image in your mind's eye of the building at the center of the golden column with the skin of violet flame, repeat this affirmation after me. I'm going to do it three times. This space is to be protected.
This space is to be protected.
Only that which is for the highest good.
Only that which is for the highest good.
Of all who live here may enter.
Of all who live here may enter.
Okay, again. This space is to be protected.
This space is to be protected.
Only that which is for the highest good.
Only that which is for the highest good.
Of all who live here may enter.
Of all who live here may enter.
One more time. This space is to be protected.
This space is to be protected.
Only that which is for the highest good.
Only that which is for the highest good.
Of all who live here may enter.
Of all who live here may enter.
Now take a deep, deep breath and hold it. And exhale fully with an audible sigh. And when you're ready to come back to the circle, open your eyes and sit in silence until we're all together again. As we part, I have a clip from my mentor, Don Oscar Mira Quesada, by way of offering you a taste of his wisdom and also a sample of immersion into the Quechua language. And as you listen, I'm going to share with you a dropper full of that Florida water that I made while I lived in Asheville, North Carolina. If Don Oscar were here, he would take a mouthful and spray us with it. But I promise I'm not going to do that.
I've been with one who did that.
So when I come to you, simply cup your palm and receive a few milliliters of the precious fluid, and then rub your hands together as if washing them, palms and backs. Then smell it, and if it smells pleasant to you, rub it on your face and neck. It's very refreshing.
Don Oscar?
Deep gratitude to all who have joined us for this alignment with the transmutational powers and healing graces of Hatun Wilka Nina, the great sacred fire that burns within us as well as without, and according to our own intention, is able to be a beneficent transformational force, burning away the dross of the chaos that exists in this world, and opening up the fulfillment of our prophecies as understood by the original peoples of this good earth. Ninayai, kusi kui wani, napai kuitiku, panchai nikiwang, sami kustaiku. Ninayai. Teksemuyutaipa chasangi po ni yaitiwang kuyai kusaipi ninayai. Ah, ancha hatung rurake. Ah, tapak, apu, indi, apu, yaba, apu, koa chokichinchai. Ah, pachamama, apu ausangati salgantai wanakauri pachatusang. Saksai wanang, haupi kuna, machula aulanchi kuna, hampui. In my own experience, the deeper the love, the deeper the munai, the kuyai, the feeling that you have that is behind the ritual act, whether done alone or collectively, is the medicine, is where we need to be focusing our attention. The power of open-hearted presence and generosity of self without concern of what one is going to receive in return is unparalleled for its ability to be a creative, creating creation itself, making us into beings of light. Because when you are in a state of pure, unlimited love, of the intention behind your rituals, you are participating in the originating field that creation's dream is about. And therefore, you have the capacity to choose where to focus that openness, that spaciousness, that all-inclusive embrace of all that is. It just is a matter of love. Monai. I warn people against needing to ascribe too much value to one's visitations from the unseen or from spirit world. Simply put, if there is a being that comes into your consciousness, to your awareness, that is not necessarily going to be beneficial or maybe even a distraction to your own service path, the easiest thing to do to neutralize its retrogressive presence would be to just say, are you a servant of the light, in whatever language you want to express? And the minute you align yourself with that reality, that your allies, your spirit helpers, are servants of the light, anything that is of a lower vibrational frequency or a lower astral expression will be vaporized, will disappear, and will not have any type of impact or disruptive effect on your work. Fire is an alchemical maestro. It transmutes all density into much more refined expressions of vibratory frequency and elevated consciousness. Listen to the following words in Quechua. Iya teksi widakocha kaituta chaupipin maska muiki imainang iskopas unumang chakiska fawarikun ina pokoika chirauka unchauka tutaka intika kiaka manang yanang kachu purin kamachiskan tuki muingu chayang kan kamastaiti kanchai kaitiman kunsi sabirat apa muspa kai tutamanta punchai kausakinka ia tuda kocha sinsi nyayoyok munai uwai uwari wai usi wai inaya. Loosely translated, this is the following. Creator Creatrix, source of supreme light, in the midst of this night that befalls our earth, our human species, I look for you as a bird thirsty looks for water. In summer, winter, during the day and night, to sun, to moon, you fixate their places. You establish the prescribed order in the celestial canopy. You determine the rhythm and pattern of the movements within all of life. And through you, Creator Creatrix, they go on their way. May from this night emerge happiness. Once again, the light of the first ray of dawning in the heart of humankind. And you, Creator Creatrix of the powerful eye, love us, hear us, help us. So mote it be.
Thanks be to the spirits who inspire, sustain, protect, guide, purify, and strengthen us. Go if you must, stay if you will, and remember us always. Thanks be to each of you for your participation. Aho, blessed be. Assalamu alaikum.
Aho.
And to close the show, as promised, we'll hear the 8th Sunset Windows practice, titled Loving It All. Elizabeth, your mic is live.
Today, I have a practice that is called Loving It All. And it may initially seem somewhat paradoxical because I want to invite those of you who want to accept the invitation to sit quietly and allow yourself to connect with a personal quality that you dislike or condemn yourself for. Maybe you're always late. Maybe you don't like the way you look. Maybe you lose patience in situations where you really deeply want to be gentle. We all have things that we are not completely satisfied with about ourselves, and we have internal critics who find these things to complain about. And oftentimes, they lie unforgiven, like unexploded landmines in us. These pockets of harshness, when they're turned within, tend to diminish the love that we are able to access for ourselves, for our lives, for our beloveds. They're like dark corners which limit the light that we can hold. They set boundaries on how much light there's room for. They circumscribe what is possible. So If we choose to live as fully and as joyfully as we would like in these uncertain times, it's essential to know as deeply as we can who we are and to befriend even, and perhaps especially, the dark corners. It's likely that you are always, maybe peripherally, but always aware of these aspects of yourself, but it happens that we often keep these aspects in a certain kind of obscurity, tucked into a corner, behind a door, and doing that actually ties up a lot of life force, making sure that we're not in constant confrontation with these parts of ourselves that we don't like, uses a great deal of our energy, and it restricts the freedom and ease that we might have for other activities, other thinking, other flow in our lives. When we fear these dark corners, when we leave these parts of ourselves rejected, despised, it's not uncommon to find that there are times when we're actually ruled by them. So this sunset window invites us to actually sit with the parts of ourselves that live in the dark, the parts that we don't love, the parts that we're unkind to or can't forgive, and to find out what is possible when we're willing to actually change that, when we're actually there to shine the light, to look, and to open our hearts to the parts of ourselves that we tend to keep at arm's length. So this is how this one goes. You start in the morning with grounding and breathing, and this doesn't need to take long. You'll know when you're ready to move on to the next part, but you just want to make sure that you're in your body, in your heart, and you know you're allowing some flow with your breath at very least. And then the second thing is ask to be shown an aspect of yourself that you are rejecting or condemning that you might want to look at in this practice. So just sit there and ask, and in all likelihood, something's going to rise up pretty quickly. We mostly know what those things are, at least the ones that loom the largest. And then you can imagine that you're sitting in front of an altar, and you can take a minute or two to create it in your mind's eye, or you can actually create a real altar if you'd like to. But you don't need to. It doesn't have to be a 3D kind of thing. You can do it in your mind. But you want to put on this altar some items that feel important or beautiful or meaningful to you that you want to aid you as you explore and hold the truth. And then once your altar is ready, you place this aspect of yourself, which you do not love, on the altar. You take some sort of representation of it. You can imagine and visualize some symbol that will hold that aspect and put it on the altar with all the items that are there to help you. You take a good look at it and then ask yourself the following questions and listen quietly for the answers that arise. Do you love less because of this quality? Who is hurt? And is it the quality or is it your condemnation of it or both that causes the hurt? Is there any purpose that has value for you that is served by withholding love here from yourself? Can you forgive yourself even for a moment? And it's important to be honest, it's fine if you can't. Can you find any forgiveness or compassion in your heart for others with the same or a similar quality? Do you need to change anything in order to be lovable? And do you want to change anything? So that's a lot to think about. So it might help to print or copy out these questions so you can refer to them easily while doing the exercise. And then once you've checked in on each of the questions, make a few notes about what's come up for you. You don't have to do anything or work on this. Just see it. Answer the questions or allow the answers to arise as you can, and give yourself permission to be conscious of this piece of you, this part of you that you condemn during the day. And then, as always, in the evening, before you go to bed, take 1 or 2 minutes to check in and see how your relationship with that aspect of yourself is. Has it changed at all, even subtly? Have your feelings about it altered in any way? And on the following days, as you work with this practice, you can decide if you want to spend more time with the original issue or if you want to move on to another part of yourself that you have relegated to a dark corner. You've already built your altar, so to speak, so feel free to return to that same place every morning. You don't have to redo that part. Opening up the space within allows us so much more freedom, and it creates more room in and for our hearts and for loving. whatever and wherever we hold back on ourselves, we almost automatically create limits on what we're able to share with other beings and with the earth. And this is very definitely not a time for constriction. It's easy to draw into that energetic pattern, to be drawn into that energetic pattern, but it really hurts. So consider opening your heart to yourself for this practice and see how it might change your experience in the world. I want to just share a little bit about my experience with this one, Susan. It's obviously a little more time consuming than the others that we've looked at to date, but not a whole lot. It may be that you just need to spend a few extra minutes at the beginning of the week. It really helps to have those questions easily at hand, printed up in some fashion or another. I'd recommend that strongly if you decide to try to work with this one. Overall, it's been helpful for me in a quiet sort of way. I certainly haven't rid myself of all the dark corners, of course, but as I've worked with it, I've been more conscious of what's lurking there. And as a result, I've been much more able to choose what it is that I decide to pay attention to. I'm not unconsciously drawn into patterns of behavior that are motivated by my own self-loathing or denial. And that means more freedom. That means more choice. That means that I get to live my life on my terms, and that means a lot to me.
This one is unique, I think, among the sunset windows in being much more deeply personal.
Yes.
And emotionally challenging.
It is.
Than the others have been. At the same time, I'm very tickled to have this. The first thing that struck me as you were explaining what it's about is, oh, we're going to do some shadow work here. And thinking back on the shadow series, we worked with that, I think, with you on Sequitur Earthbound, if I'm not mistaken, talking about shadow work. And I've certainly had other people on about working with the shadow, and we're fine about what is the shadow and why is it important to work with it, and not so fine on, okay, what do we do? What's the first step? How do I go about working with my own shadow? The questions really struck home. The quality that rose up in me immediately when you were describing the practice, well, actually there were two. There was one that rose up later, but the one that rose up immediately was, I have a short fuse.
Mm-hmm.
I have some self-judgment about that. I guess, you know, to turn it around into the positive, I might be able to say, I wish I could be more patient, or I wish I could reserve judgment, or something like that. But I have a short fuse is the piece of shadow that I thought of working with.
Mm-hmm.
Then as you were going through the questions, each one of them was like another jab, not necessarily to the heart, more like to the solar plexus.
Yes.
And then I guess what rose up later is, what a wimp you are. It again goes back to judgment. When other people judge me, I sort of turn into a puddle. I don't know what to do with it, you know? And I wish I were stronger. I wish I had more courage would be the way it would turn around, whatever. So that's what I mean when I say this one seems much more deeply emotional and personal than the others have been. The others have been just empty your mind and see what comes up, you know? And this one's more like, what's really in there, girl? So I'll post those questions on the webpage and certainly make a hard copy for myself when I get around to trying this.
Good. Yeah, it's, I want to use the word alchemical, although sometimes it's often overused, can occur when we just simply shine the light on those dark corners, those places that we tend to step around. Just allowing a little more space, a little more light, a little more openness softens that harshness that we turn on ourselves.
On the other hand, it gives me another thing to be harsh about because I feel like a little kid at a horror movie, you know, peeking out from between her fingers like that. You know, if I just shine a little light, I can always go hide. But if I have those questions, it's like, hey, there's no turning back. You know, you're a big girl now. Suck it up and face the music. You know, I know that sounds harsh.
It does.
But at the same time, I want to raise the bar. As long as I'm not imposing on another,
mm-hmm.
and as long as I'm compensating with
these other self-care practices that we've been talking about, then once in a while we can go and do this other thing. This is not one that I would want to do, by the way, on 7 consecutive days. I mean, I might want to just stick my toe in the water once in a while, but once my toe is in the water, the rest of my body is going to follow.
Well, it probably is, but I think it's important to remember that whatever those aspects of ourselves are, those qualities that we wish were not the way they were, they exist for a reason. They are there because at some point in our lives, we found them to be useful or helpful or protective or in some way advancing what we saw as our survival or our best interest. And so I would just ask that you approach this with an attitude of inquiry.
Thanks for that reminder. It's important to realize that about shadow work in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a shadow for a reason. It's, in a sense, a safe place to keep those things we don't necessarily like about ourselves, or things that we do like about ourselves, but we're not really ready to show them to the rest of the world. There's mm-hmm. that whole thing too, you know? So yeah, it's important to realize that we have a shadow for a reason and that our shadow is precious.
It is. And the last question is, do you want to change anything?
Right.
And if you do not, that is fine. Mm-hmm. Even if you do not, if you have spent a little bit of time looking into how that quality in you works, how it operates, that's going to give you more freedom.
And how it serves me. I mean, that there was that in the questions too that I really, really appreciated. Okay, so this is something you don't necessarily like. Maybe others don't like it either. But how does it serve you?
That's right. That's right. You're putting it on an altar because it is a sacred part of yourself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you are looking at why you hate it, why you're harsh to yourself, and whether this is really limiting your capacity for freedom, for joy, for flow, for self-care, for the other things that matter to you and matter to other people around you. And you can approach this with an openness. You might come out saying, actually, that part of me doesn't need to stay in the shadow because I'm going to embrace it. You know, that could happen. This is okay. I don't mind this. This is something that I don't need to be angry with myself about anymore. Or you may find that it's something that you actually don't need to hold on to anymore.
Or I can always take it out and embrace it and thank it for its service to me and put it right back where it came from.
Absolutely. What you do with this is going to be completely dependent on, you know, what you find as you explore. But it is an invitation to spend some time not, you know, dancing about in the light, which is really great. Last time we were talking about the incredible reverence and awe that you can tap into when you're cutting up a vegetable. And this is wonderful. This is really important to have those moments and to be able to sink into them and, uh-huh. and fully experience them. But it's also a really, really powerful thing to be able to explore and dialogue, shake hands with some of the parts of ourselves that really are very powerful in our lives, but which we tend to walk by without looking in their direction, our eyes steadfastly looking in the other direction.
And that's what I was pointing to moments ago about keeping that balance, is to stay reminded, even when you're in the throes of working with dark material, it's not quicksand.
No.
You know, you will come out the other side. I think there's some, must be a Buddhist saying or something, the only way out is through.
Precisely. Yeah, that's always been my experience.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much for loving it all. Is that what it is?
Loving it all, yes.
Okay, very good.
All right.
We'll see you next time. Special thanks to Larry Nelson and Sandy Thorne, my neighbors here at Unity Manor in Morgantown, West Virginia, for their participation in the protection ceremony. Thanks also to the Shift Network for making so much of Don Oscar's work freely accessible on the internet, and to Don Oscar Miro Quesada for walking and working among the inhabitants of Turtle Island on behalf of our beloved Gaia Pachamama. Special thanks to Elizabeth West for the guided visualization and for her Sunset Windows practices. And thanks to our musical guests, the Sami Brothers, for the 7 Directions invocation, to Lisa Thiel for Litha, the Summer Solstice song, and to Zimft for the Sequitur theme music. Until next time, this is Susan Livingston.
What connects us is one.